This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. President Obama yesterday called for reining in patent lawsuits, saying they've become a huge problem for the tech industry. He announced several executive orders aimed at protecting innovators. It's not just big firms like Apple and Samsung suing each other. Some companies have begun to use patents to sue small businesses and individuals, arguing that simply by using a technology or a piece of software, they are infringing on a patent. NPR's Zoe Chace has the story of how one patent owner is going after a comedian.
The comedian is Marc Maron. He has this very popular podcast. In fact, one of the most popular podcasts out there called WTF. Can't tell you what it stands for here on the radio. The first two letters are what the. He interviews other comedians and artists out of his garage in California. He went to check the mail recently, a P.O. box, and inside he found an extraordinary letter saying basically by doing his podcast out of his garage, he was violating a technology patent.
The 504 patent covers important technology related to automatically identifying and retrieving media files representing episodes and a series of those episodes becoming available. These patented techniques are commonly used in podcasting.
Turns out there's this guy across the country in New Hampshire who says he invented podcasting. He says every time someone creates a podcast and distributes it, that person owes his company money. When Marc Maron started up his podcast, he didn't think he was stealing anyone's invention. He's a comedian. He'd never seen a patent before.
And they sent a copy of the patent with this letter, which is very helpful to a layman, a patent, which looks like a large bunch of legal gibberish that he's now retrofitting into an extortion racket.
A couple other podcasters have received similar letters. Jesse Thorne, host of the public radio show Bullseye, NBC, CBS, The Adam Carolla Show, they've all been sued. One major irony here, the patent holder doing the suing, he does not have a podcast himself. He doesn't really listen to them or know how they're put together. And yet...
I'm one of the co-inventors of podcasting, yes.
This is Jim Logan, the man behind the letters. He fashions himself as a classic, scrappy American inventor. In 1996, he had this idea, a device that could download audio from the internet and play it.
All the personal stuff that you wanted to listen to. Okay. It has come to pass that, you know, we didn't use these words back then, but the idea of, you know, downloading playlists to your audio player and podcasts are how the world's kind of gotten around to actually implementing those ideas.
Back in the mid-90s, Jim Logan started a company called Personal Audio to try to build such a device. He wasn't able to, and he went with a much lower-tech version of what he feels is the same idea. This is the first podcast, says Jim Logan. It's a cassette tape.
Welcome to Amazing, the best of popular science, brought to you by Magazines on Tape.
The idea was that you, the listening public, would pick from a selection of articles and his company would send you a tape of those articles being read out loud.
Coming up, answers to some questions you have probably wondered about. What happens in your head when you have a headache? How does quicksand work?
The tapes didn't work out, but he still had a patent on the idea. Over the next 10 years, Logan says he kind of forgot about these audio patents until he remembers the year 2007, when he and his patent attorney, Charlie Call, realized the moment had come for the old audio patents.
I wasn't a big music listener, and Charlie Call wasn't either. We didn't own iPods. We didn't even use iTunes. So it's all kind of foreign to us. So he went off on another project, explored iTunes, and then he realized that the personal audio patents that we had filed years before were actually being infringed by iTunes.
Jim Logan's company, Personal Audio, didn't create iTunes or the Zune or the iPod, and his patents wouldn't have told you how to build them, like what lines of code to put in the software, where exactly you'd put the microprocessor. But once the engineers at Apple do figure that out, he comes along and says, hey, this was all my idea. I asked his licensing guy, Richard Baker, you can really do that?
If you have the idea of the thing, don't you have to invent the way to get it?
This is the roadmap that would tell someone how to do podcasting, how to do MP3 players. A lot of the roadmap is right here in the columns of this patent.
Do you think that the guy that invented iTunes read your roadmap? What if they just came up with it on their own, but they actually had the capacity to build the thing?
That does not make a difference in the world of patents.
That's how it works. And a lot of people think this is a big problem. The fact that somebody like Jim Logan could even get a patent this broad means that the patent system is not working like it's supposed to. Rather than encouraging more innovation, it hurts it. In Jim Logan's case, his company sued Apple, saying the ability to make a playlist in iTunes, that infringed his patent. And he won. The jury awarded Logan's company $8.5 million. There have been appeals, a settlement, none of it's public. To Jim Logan, this is the system working as it should. When he uses patents to make back money that he lost on a failed business, that makes it safer for people like him to try to start the next one. The people he's threatening to sue, of course, don't see it like that.
I'm not a rich guy. I don't run a tech company. I'm a guy who turns on his computer and does his thing.
Mark Maron, scared podcaster, could find reason for hope that the president is on his side of this battle. Yesterday, in his call for reform, Obama specifically called for more protection for what he calls end users. People who aren't making a new tech product, just turning on their computers and doing their thing. Zoe Chace, NPR News.